Hi, and welcome to the 147th edition of the Keen Minds podcast. We cover NBC's The Blacklist. This is season 10, episode 1, The Night Owl. I'm Jen, aka Takata Sayako.
And I am Tessa. And I can't believe we're almost to 150 episodes of the podcast.
And the final season, The Blacklist. This is the beginning of the end.
Well, I would say the beginning of the end started a long time ago, but... Let's not quibble about that.
Oh,
Did you like the episode?
I was going to say real fast before we jump into the episode. Sorry, it was written by Lucas Ryder, who Tessa and I notoriously love. For the most part, I think there have been an episode or two that we've questioned on him. But overall, Lucas is one of our favorites. And it was directed by Court Hessler, which was a name I didn't recognize, but that doesn't.
I think it's directed quite a few of them.
Has he? I was going to say, it wasn't someone that just jumped out, but I tend to not notice the director nearly as closely as I notice the writers. So that's just me.
Yeah, I'm a director by train, not of TV, but I do tend to notice them. How did you like the episode?
So...
considering it's a first episode and as of such, it would have a lot more exposition than you would want to have.
Well, there are several different lenses you can look through this. If you're looking at it through the 10th episode of The Blacklist, it was okay. But if you're looking at it as just a generic FBI show, it was actually pretty good. No, it was pretty good. Like, just, if this were a pilot of a show that were brand new on TV with the characters that were portrayed... especially the new characters that were portrayed.
Step above Chicago Fire or Chicago whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. It would have been something I would have gone, okay, I'll be back for the next episode. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I am, after what's happened to The Blacklist, I'm not watching any more network shows. That was for me.
So I've got two that I'm working, that I'm on pilot seasons of. And I'm really enjoying so far. One just started. It's, can't for the life remember the name of it. The Company We Keep. And the other one's called Will Trent. Will Trent is fantastic. I am terrified for the drop off because if it's this good starting out, what's going to happen down the way? But so far, pilot season one, it's fantastic. So if nobody's watching and following Will Trent, go do it now. It's utterly fantastic.
And I like the episode. I didn't watch it live. It's the first time in my life of The Blacklist in 9 years that I have not watched an episode live. Not because I wasn't here or it wasn't airing or I had no power or no internet. I didn't because it wasn't worth me watching with commercials.
Okay. Then yeah, if you put it that way, that's probably accurate for me as well. Because even with Liz, whenever I missed episodes in the last couple 3 years that I just was so down on the show, I would still watch live just because you'd watch it the first time through and then you'd do the rewatch for the podcast. And no, I did not watch live on Sunday night. It was at 9 o'clock Central, which is where I'm at these days, and on a Sunday night getting up for work the next morning, no, I wasn't going to wire myself up, and I won't continuing. I'm going to continuously watch it on Monday moving forward if I have time. But yeah. No, it's I mean,
it's a big shift in and it fully I got, you know, for all the stuff that happened in season 9, it was the changing of Marvin Gerard that really got me out of my admiration for the writers and the show. So coming into this one, I didn't have any big expectations. I watched it. I was disappointed that I didn't get a lot of actual minutes of the show in new stuff, that there was so much. And some of it was okay because it actually brought people who are not the super fan, who do not remember all these things, But some of it, like the whole thing with Wu Jing, is like that had no object except feel like at least 3 minutes.
The flashback from season one with Wu Jing? Absolutely not. No, I was sitting there going, why is this going so long? So, and part of that could be because I've rewatched the first 4.5 seasons so many
They were
times I can't count.
phenomenal.
I mean, they were just, I mean, I'm not gonna say the first 4.5 were phenomenal. Season five was not phenomenal. It was okay. I mean, it was
Well,
good,
you
but it's
didn't like
also,
it,
well, I
but
mean,
okay.
it was my last season with Tom, so it holds a special place in my heart. There are scenes in it that I very, very much love. And but especially like seasons one, two, and three, good heavens, there are some amazing episodes. Season one is just off the charts. And I still to this day, no matter what Blacklist does to me, anytime someone comes to me and says, I'm getting into reading screenplays, what should I start with? I hand them John Bogenkamp's The Blacklist pilot every time because it is and I've read some phenomenal pilot episodes before.
It was
It
very good.
remains the best pilot I've ever read.
I watch it because I said, oh, well, no, I kind of like James Spader. This looks really interesting. And I watched it on the premiere and I got hooked and I kept watching it ever since. This is the first time that I purposely not watch and not like having like, oh my God, maybe I should be watching. No, I was watching something else and I even forgot the Blacklist was on.
I went to bed.
And then I went to bed really early too. I was tired. But the no, I, that was last night. That night I was just watching something else. It was but in general I found the episode likable, not incredibly good, but okay. I like the new character. I think that they that's a step up to in terms of how to introduce a character that
Oh,
is
absolutely.
still
Well, I mean,
she's
if you compare her to oh God, what's her name? I can picture her.
Alina.
Alina Park. That was it.
Yes.
Which says everything that needs to be said. So you have Alina's arc, if you can even call it that, and the way she was introduced, the way she was portrayed, and I really don't necessarily think it was the
Maybe it's
actress.
the British accent.
Well, I no, I think it's a
It was
combination of things.
better done. It was better done.
Yeah, regardless, I mean, because I haven't seen the actress anything else, so it's really hard to say if it was the actress or not. But I mean, we had ties to Mira, who I think really holds a very special place in
And
most OG fans' hearts. Like, we
maybe
all love
that's the
Mira.
way because you made it through a connection to
Yes.
something that has a tie back to a character that was there in the beginning. So everything in this episode takes
Exactly.
us back to the beginning of the series, which in normal cases would have got my hopes up that we're actually going to try to fix the mess. I don't
Well, I
know
don't hope.
if, yeah, it's not a magic show. Nobody has a magic wand to fix it. I think it will take a freaking big effort to do so. But as an episode, as a new character that was introduced, it was always lovely to see baddies because I love the freelancer and I love Wu Jing.
Oh,
He
Wu Xing's
was,
awesome. Yeah.
yeah,
Like,
he was.
if you have to choose an old school blacklister to head this up, I like that they chose Wu Xing because he's a survivor. That's what he is. That is entirely what Wu Xing is. And he has the intel and he has the wherewithal to be able to put this
And the
together.
ruthlessness
And the
to do so.
exactly,
To do
exactly.
so. So
And
that was.
I don't think Red, I'm not going to say he doesn't. This isn't a compliment to him particularly. I don't want to make it sound like it's a compliment, but I don't think he has the ruthlessness anymore just because he strikes me as almost doddering in this episode. And I have a question for you. This is getting a
Sure.
little bit off of our new characters and such, but so we saw and obviously, we saw Ram in that opening scene, which was
That
great.
was phenomenal.
So it really threw me personally, because I knew that Amir wasn't there. I didn't realize that he had just been taken off as a season regular, that he was going to be guesting. I did not realize that. But it was so nice to see him. And I was like, what? Was this like a big psych moment? Like, haha, we told you he wasn't going to be here, but here he is. And then he was just there in the opening scene. But it really tied into the fact that they were hearkening back to the past to bring us into the into this season.
And Wujing is the episode where Aram was introduced.
It was. You're right. So that's nice. It's nice bookends. And that's something else I like about Mira's daughter. What did we decide her name was? Like, I'm terrible with names.
Sia. Sia.
But I really, because when I heard they were bringing her in, I was like, oh my God, really? Like, can you do nothing new? But I really decided I liked it. One, because it harkened back to Mira. And two, I just very much like bookends. I'm a big bookend, circular sort of individual that I like things to have. I like
a beginning and an end.
I like the end to have some sort of, you know, whispers of the beginning. Like we see the path that's happened.
The past is always tied to
the present
is always tied to the past.
And, yes.
And this is a way to remind you that those things that happened there had a consequence.
And Mira's daughter really felt that. Now, I don't necessarily think that they did their due diligence on
making sure they were... No, there was a big rewriting of Mir's character and death, but...
No. My thing was when Cooper, of all people, was the one who's like, I went to London and met with them. And I'm like, didn't Mira give him the whole story about having a sick child?
Well, but it doesn't mean that they were living in London, but they were in London. Maybe that's why they decided to stay in London.
I mean, that's a stretch, and my guess is they just didn't care enough to check. That's kind of where I'm at with the writing team these days.
Well, they had to do something to make her be...
Yeah, MI6.
It reminded me of Emma. Mm-hmm. And, you know, another MI6, it almost like made me want to say, I hope that they will bring back, because that thing never made any sense to me, the way those ends were tied at the end or not tied.
Yeah.
But at this point, I'm hard to say that's where it's going. I just note they're there, and mm-hmm. I don't particularly have any hopes about that, but there they are. It ties back to that.
But the question I was going to come up to and then got distracted by Mira's daughter again, because I really think she was the standout of the episode by leaps and bounds. She was the standout. The actress is phenomenal. I don't know who she is, but she's very good. And just the general way they used her to bring her in, I really liked. And I also, by the way, really liked the whole front for the interagency.
Oh, that was great.
I very much enjoyed that.
Before,
it makes sense though. I mean, yeah. it makes sense. And so I like things that both make sense and feel clever, and that hit both nails on the head. But my question is, so we saw Red with in England, or not in England, good heavens, in New York with Aram, or not with Aram, but Aram saw Red. Supposedly, we see him super scraggly getting into a cab at the beginning of the episode. He had a full beard, very scraggly looking.
It looked very much like the Red in the poster.
No, he even looked more scraggly than that.
It's been 10 years.
Yeah, but he just looked very worn and
unkempt.
Unkempt is a great word.
Yeah, I've never seen Red with the pants sliding below his belly and like the shirt showing up. It's like,
yeah,
that was unsettling. Now, was it Red?
That's my question, because you have that in the next scene we see him in. He's touring the place in New York, or you assume it's in New York, with the real estate agent. He's more on top of things. He knows what he wants. He's shaved, you know, in his suit, etc., etc. And then we see him at the end, and yes, he's put together, but he's sort of doddering. He's, you know,
but Red dodders when he wants to avoid things. He's always done that. Remember, pink blouse or or telling little stories about this burglar or another because he's nervous that Liz is crawling in a prison in the midst of an uprising.
But while I get the impression at the end, Red is hiding something from Dembe, whether he doesn't want him to worry or whatever the case is, or he doesn't trust him because he's working with the FBI now. I don't know what the case is. I really don't have a theory on that. It's that first scene with Red, and it was James Spader. It very much
Oh,
looked
yeah.
like James Spader. But if we're hearkening back to old blacklisters, we have blacklisters that are capable of at least at a distance making someone look like someone else.
Hey, they Red himself did it in with Ian Garvey. He made an a Ian Garvey that wasn't Ian Garvey.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't necessarily think that that was like, I'm not sold that that was Red. And I'm also curious why they immediately thought Red blew up a Chinese
Oh, well,
building, because
that you're going into my peeve.
that's not his typical MO. And it kind of startled me that there wasn't any, I mean, and this is coming from someone who has not been Red's cheerleader for a very long time now. But I'm sitting there going, no one thinks that someone might be after Red.
Well, that entire thing makes no sense if you look at it. According to what we're supposed to believe, Wu Jing got Jennifer Moore, who is the daughter of a friend of Red, to go to the Chinese, to a building owned by the Chinese government and steal information from the Chinese government, supposedly tying Red to being an informant for the FBI. Explain. Because that one, not even I can make
Well,
a sense
I
of
don't
that.
think that's what he was trying to do.
Yes, remember that they were information or where was the whereabouts of the freelancer. And because when they say
Well,
she
she
fled,
was supposed to be getting that information. I think she
yes.
was getting that information from the Chinese who might have had a link to that organization. I mean, why we would hand them the keys to an interagency organization, I don't know, but potentially they had that information, whether it was illegitimately got or handed over to, who knows?
But it doesn't make any sense
But I
that
think, well, I
Wu
think.
Jing would have to hire, Wu Jing, who is an agent of the Chinese government, would have to hire an American thief in order to steal this information when he has an insider in the consulate.
But is he
And
still? Is he still an agent of the Chinese government?
they were going to take him to back to China with big honors. And whoopsies, he decided that he was going to go after Red. But he's the guy who was, stealing things and had cryptographers and people stealing things. Did he really need to get Jennifer Moore in there? I don't know if that was that connection to Jennifer Moore felt to me that it was just more opportunistic than a realistic thing. He could have hired anybody to hack into those computers because it wasn't really like going and like physically stealing at
So
least.
I think we have two options here. We have the option that it was lazy writing, which I'm fully capable of agreeing that it might be, in which they, oh, we need another blacklister. Who do we want? We want this one. Okay, how do we link it? Who knows? It's the
Who's
old Dan.
available?
Well, it's the old Dan Knopf thing of there's a we're gonna have a tiger in here. Well, where'd the tiger come from? It's okay, nobody's gonna ask. Everybody's gonna ask, Dan. Everybody's gonna ask. And he
Yeah.
may not be here anymore, but they're still playing by that rule book of it's fine, nobody's gonna ask. And honestly, and in all honesty, the casual viewer will not. But
Probably not. But then why would Red, instead of Red, Red did not know about the freelancer because she wasn't even taking any steps to tell anybody or tip them that, he was going in danger. There was nothing. He had no idea what she was in there. Why on earth would he planted a bomb? When had Red resorted to bombs? Well, instead of taking her and actually getting the information himself.
That's the thing, is I don't think Red did. I don't think he planted that bomb. I don't think that was actually Red. It doesn't, I mean, it could be that they're just way off.
If you're going to go for Red, unless it's somebody just going off the playbook of the last known picture of Red, why would you create a double that doesn't even look like him?
It could be that the person wouldn't have looked like him without the beard.
Yeah, I know, but it's
you want obstructions.
On the other hand, you could have that be the Red that is not working, and when it's just like for Red, when he works, he puts a uniform of the three suit and the.
And it could be that Red didn't set that, he was investigating,
or trying to find, or that Moore was actually working for him to get the information. That seems to me more likely, that he would be stealing from the Chinese the information of what Wu Jing was up to.
Yeah, that would make sense.
More likely than this, because as it was presented, I hope it's just a setup, because otherwise Sloppy doesn't even begin to cover it.
But Wu Jing and his driver were talking about it and named the woman, I don't remember her name.
Yeah, the associate, but it doesn't mean that Red didn't implant it the same
That's
way
true.
That we have done it
Very
many
true.
Times. Putting somebody in there in order to benefit from whatever it is that they want stolen. That way he knows what they're up to. But I do think that the person who got into the cab recognized a Ram. I do not think that it wasn't that he didn't know who it was. He exchanged a look and then got in the cab, and he seemed to be a little upset to find around there.
Regardless, I honestly don't think that Red set the bomb off, and I thought it was a strange decision to have the task force immediately assume that Red did after all the years of dealing with him. You can dislike
what wrestler does. Whatever bad happens is Red.
I guess. But Cooper did as well.
But Red had been doing a lot of very strange things. I don't know if you noticed. And when he was talking with this woman, the realtor, he used the name Reddington. That's very brazen. It wasn't Mr. Holman. It wasn't Mr. Anything. It was Mr. Reddington. Yes, she did.
I'm saying I didn't catch that.
Well, that's what it said, Mr. Reddington, but that's what you wanted. So he is not only sending postcards that make no sense, he's also using his name for a deal with a real estate when he's always been Mr. Holman for those
things. And signing them Red. Yeah.
Plus sending them from Uruguay about being in London. Sort of, I hope it's a code that nobody got, because it's either very sloppy or...
It sounds like dementia.
He's getting doodle, yes. Like he's getting doodle. But why on earth would you send a postcard from Uruguay, signing them Red, and instead of just R, the way that he always signs things? But it almost seems to me like he is leading people to something. And then when I started examining that situation with the realtor, one thing struck me. And I don't know if they will do that, because I've had good ideas, and most of them haven't come to fruition. If I were Red and I had people coming for me, people who have been blacklisters, who have been in the post office, I would build myself a duplicate post office on the interior. Manage to arrest one of these people, take them there, and meanwhile, rig the real post office that they know where it is in with explosives. And then take this guy, let them see that he's in the post office, and then quote unquote, and then when they storm the real post office, blow them all up. That would be my plan, but then who knows? Because they wanted something with two stories and the kitchen was not important. And no windows. That remind me of the post office.
Interesting. I really, and to be fair, some of it's just being I don't want to say checked out because I'm still doing a podcast, so I'm obviously not checked out yet, but a lack of faith that I used to have, I suppose, is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't think about that. I just sort
losing
of went,
your faith.
Yeah.
You're losing your religion.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of feel that way.
Yeah.
I'll have to grab exactly that song and insert it over this point.
Yep. The postcard from London, and then he's going to Legoland and like take part in the key ceremony. That is a Dottie thing, unless that's what he's going for, making people believe that he's Dottie. That could be, I don't know, or he's just losing it. And no security, he's taking cabs and public transport. Is he broke? Did he put all his assets for that, or something happened when he left Weecha? I mean, I don't know.
Maybe they stole all of his money. I never trusted those two.
It could be. I mean, it could be. He could have just, you know, in our egg robbing ceremony, decided that he was going to give it all up. I don't
know. Just never liked them. I don't know. I don't know what it was. That entire season was just so wrong.
Well, they were trying to get Red to be who he was not and forget something. And, you know, I always think that if you love somebody, you don't try to make them be who they're not. Either you like them the way they are.
Yeah.
Or you just let them go.
Because 100%.
You're trying to make Red into this not vengeful. If anything, it's Red is, it's vengeful.
I mean, like, you always hear, you know, oh, you know, marry him, honey, and then change him. No, that is a horrible advice. Women, if anybody ever gives you that advice, don't take it. That's terrible. Don't ever do
People
it.
People are exactly what they are, and you,
yeah,
and they're not going to change. And you got to love them the way they are, or just...
Or walk away. Yeah.
Walk away. There's plenty more where that where those fish came from.
Yeah.
So that's basically my thing with the episode. It was a setup episode, and it would take a lot to set up the final confrontation of this. And I like having some of that go back, and I liked having a little bit of those flashbacks to kind of refresh what had happened. But I don't think we got 38 minutes of new footage, and we got very little Red, which got me a little upset.
That probably came from some sort. Honestly,
they could film in tandem.
I was gonna say, and it could also just be James is, he knows it's at the end, and he's like, "Man, I'm not, you know, give me this much." I don't know if he's not interested in spending
the
time.
I wouldn't think that is.
I hope not. You know, I really hope not, but.
It was a weird episode in the sense that I mean, the whole setup of what they were going, like, Cooper wasn't even going to work.
Russell, that was bizarre.
Russell put away his phone in a drawer.
After a month? Really?
Month, and then decided to just join meetings.
My question is, why was the past? Did Dinbei draw the short straw?
He has a more sense of responsibility than the other ones, because apparently Resser hasn't even been in the office, and Dembe is dealing with that. Maybe he's the newbie, so he gets all those fun things.
I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of, but it was really bizarre. And like, it would have made more sense if you know, and you could even say that Cooper went into like semi, like he took a semi retirement and was going to come back when Red did. Like I could take that. He has the seniority to pull that. And I know wrestlers got some seniority, but...
My phone is in a drawer.
Yeah, no.
Because after a month, it didn't ring. So he hadn't gone to the office. He hadn't even helped with the paperwork.
Yeah, it's like, poor Dembe. Dembe's the most responsible agent there, and he's a brand new agent. Yeah. It's absurd. So here's the other thing. So we decided that we like Mira's daughter. Is that's fair to say? We both like Mira's daughter?
I liked it. I don't know enough about her.
No, that's
then
good.
I have a weakness for British accents. That might explain some of it.
I think everybody does. Like, yeah. Everybody that's not British has a weakness for British accents, or at least all Americans.
I didn't like that like the mystery of why she died. I mean, it may be a mystery to her.
No, it's a mystery to her. To me, that said there were questions because it was part of a...
She was retired.
Mira?
Mira was retired, and she was took out of retirement and
No,
put
she
into the
wasn't.
White Force. Yes, she
No,
was.
she
She
wasn't.
was.
She was active CIA.
Nope.
Yes, she was active CIA. Go back and
No.
watch active
No.
CIA.
No. She was run back to retirement. That was in the
I don't think
Elizabeth
so.
Keane diary, the
Oh.
dossier. Oh, I
Okay,
love that
I
dossier.
have it in my
By
room.
heart.
I have it in
Yep.
my room. I'll go take a look after this.
She was retired, and she took early retirement to be with her family, and then she got out of there to navigate this as a request for Diane Fowler. And we always say
Oh.
she was attached to Peter, not attached to Fitch, because she was CIA and she was a covert agent, and she spent most of her life as a covert agent.
Yeah. But regardless, I mean, it sounded to me like the reason that the details of her death were hidden behind this shroud of secrecy because it was, dealing with the task force and everything. And they couldn't just tell the family all the details. So she died in the line of duty. That's the line they get. And the daughter wanted to know more. They wouldn't tell her more. So she essentially, and I love that story. Like, I need to know about my family. So, I mean, and that's very much in line with the blacklist. I need to know about where I come from. I'm gonna, raise
It's a
hell
bit
until I get
too
there.
much of the of I hope they don't go the same route as Liz. I gotta find
Well, I mean,
all
you can
these
take.
things.
Okay, you can take, but you should take different angles on that same general trajectory. And I mean, just because there are two women doesn't mean two women approach something at the exact same way. I mean, you should have very different angles from two totally different characters. And these are two entirely different characters. You know how much I love my parallels, but there are also fractured parallels that make
Well,
even better.
and this also takes us back to Samar, who is also an
Yeah.
agent from somebody from
Foreign agent.
Mossad and came over. So that was a better deal than the way they introduce Alina.
Park. Yeah.
So
How did you like them bringing Tadashi in to take a rum spot?
I like Tadashi. The mother was like, "Oh,
Oh
please
God, the
get
mom's
this."
irritating.
But I love that she demand the payment in cash. I
she
mean,
see,
let's
see that
just be
she
clear. I'm here as my son agent, and what are you getting him into? And I want the payment in cash.
Well, I mean, she's just kind of slimy to me. Like, she's very much just takes advantage of the whole situation. She kind of reminds me of those parents of the child actors that are like, you need to treat my child
Rapacious.
right. Yeah, huh?
Rapacious.
Yeah, just you need to treat my child right, but I'm gonna dictate the terms.
One thing that made me was like, oh my God, if Aram had been the one, he would have cracked that computer. So that
I
made me
mean,
sad.
but also Tadashi is not 19. I'm sorry, but your years do not match up, Blacklist. Get a calendar.
No, he
Come on,
was
it's not that hard.
19 like in season six.
No.
No, he was
I'm like, grab a calendar,
16.
folks. It's not
He was
hard.
16 in season six. That's correct.
No. He had his season six was his senior prom.
Yes.
So that would have made him 18.
No, because he was advanced. He
Okay, so why
was.
is he just now getting into business school? Is he doing his master's?
I bet. No, yeah. That would make sense.
But they should have said that. Like the way they phrase that, it made him sound like,
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds bad.
But I liked seeing him, and I
Oh,
like
I
that
love
they're
seeing
bringing
him.
all this. I can't wait to see Panna Baker and the rest of the gang. It did feel very weird without Aram.
So for me, this kind of sums up my entire approach to the episode. From bringing Tadashi in, from bringing all the blacklisters in, bringing Mira's daughter in to have that nice little bookend on either end of the series, there is a thing that we are living in a culture that very much loves the phrase I'm looking for. The throwback culture. And it can be done very well, and it can be done very poorly. We've seen a lot of movie writers try to do sequels years and years later that just destroy entire franchise. I could give you a list of them. I'm not going to. if anybody follows my Tumblr, you know.
Anything past their
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's really what it is. And then you've got others that do very well. Like, if you look, I guess it was this last summer, Top Gun, like, came in, what, 30 years later and was phenomenal because they actually paid homage to the movie that it was made off of. And so, like, you can do it really well and you can do it very poorly. And I feel like we're teetering on this edge here in the final season of The Blacklist. And so much of that rides on understanding what made the original source material good. And I think so many people that come in many, many years later don't understand what made the source material good. And they're just trying to replicate the effects without actually replicating why, you know, how we got to the effects.
Mm.
And we're about to find out if Eisendrath and team can replicate Bokenkamp.
He seemed to be very much a fan of soap operas, and it shows in a lot of things.
Bokenkamp or Eisendrath?
Eisendrath. I find myself missing Bokenkamp a lot.
I think I was too harsh on John Bokenkamp. I thought it was his fault. I will admit this. I just want to own up to it on my own. I'm a huge Keen Squared fan. Eisendrath seemed to be a Keen Squared fan. He said many good things about Tom over the years. And so I took his side on it. I was wrong. I think I misjudged Bokenkamp.
Because you need a little darkness. And what a lot of people have expressed to me, including old friends in Reddit, was that Red has lost the edge. You just said something similar, just starting the podcast. And absolutely, yes, Red doesn't seem dangerous or because in the early years, and that's what Bokenkamp brought, was Red was charming, but he could turn on a twist and he could be very ruthless. I mean, like that scene with Aram when he takes him and says, you know, you're going to transfer all this and in the time that it takes me to disassemble and assemble this gun, and if not, I'm going just to put a bullet in your head
says it with a smile.
Yeah. And then Aram is shocked. He's like, don't worry, the first one will kill you. What are you worrying about the other five? And so then that was the epitome of Red, or, you know, the suspense is killing me, and then, you know, that you know he's going to kill the guy, but he has to have a little fun with it. And that dangerous
set Red. I miss that Red so much.
that Red was Bokenkamp.
Yes, because I agree.
This version of Red, he had become a little dotty and a little oldie man and a little bit of like a cartoon of himself. Like he's trying, like a has-been, not the guy, and has nothing to do with age. Plenty of people get scarier as they get older. And Spader can pull it off. It's not that he can't.
Oh, I 100% have faith in Spader's acting ability for this.
Exactly. So it is the way he's written and the way he's directed that is taking that and making it into Grandpa. And all this, did you notice that he hasn't even mentioned anything about Agnes? So suddenly he's gone on for 2 months. Nobody knows what he's doing. He's sending Dolly postcards.
6 months.
Yeah. He's using his own name. He's sending crazy postcards. And anybody looking at them, it's not even tracking him because where is he, in London or Uruguay? I mean, and he's sending them Red. It was just weird, and I also wonder why on earth is Chuck doing driving around, because
been going from point A to point B, but
I know, but the guy just drives in the void.
I think they did that to have a scenes that altered because Dembe was stagnant and Chuck was driving. But yeah,
he's been driving for 6 months.
Just going around and around and around. You know what? I did that the first time I went to DC. Because the car I was in, we just kept driving around because we got so lost. So that's what Chuck's doing. He keeps seeing the Jefferson Memorial. It just keeps going around and around.
Yeah, maybe that's what he's doing. Yeah, or maybe he misses Morgan and he's
I'm not gonna lie. Like the moment that we like our opening scene was New York, I was like, they've given up. They've given up pretending they're in DC. They're just in New York again. Well,
the other thing that occurred to me is that they're going to end up moving the blacklist, the post office to New York, and that would be making filming a little easier. I don't know.
What's the point of it after 10 years?
Oh, because I imagine that at some point the task force will be decommissioned and they will keep acting illegally.
Well, this is the final season, so you know, it's almost too much. Are we doing 22 episodes for season 10?
Yes.
22. Oh, bloody hell. Oh, and that leads nicely into our final piece, folks, on how Tessa and I will be handling Keen Minds this season. So we chatted about it, and the general idea is that we're going to be doing every 2 to 3 episodes, a Keen Mind podcast episode for every 2 to 3 episodes of The Blacklist. Because there's, if the leading episode into it is anything to go by, there's probably going to be, let's be real. If the last like 3 seasons are anything to go by, there's probably going to be a lot of filler episodes in it, in which we could have condensed everything happening within 3 seasons into 1 episode or 3 episodes, 3 seasons into 1 episode, possibly that as well.
I wouldn't know.
That was a Freudian slip. Apologies. Yeah. But everything in like 3 episodes into 1, it very likely could happen. And so we're just going to kind of approach it that way. I'll make sure to keep up. Make sure to follow us. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. And so I'll make sure to post to those to let you know, hey, keep an eye out for an episode this week. We'll have that out. Or, hey, we're taking an episode off, that sort of thing.
And we have to make it fluid because it might be episodes like a double episode that may merit one episode on their own. And they may be 2, 3, 4 that can be easily condensed into 4.
Exactly. They're
using a lot of stuff. It depends on where it goes because sure, you cannot judge a book by the cover, but as Red said in season 1, you can buy the first page and the last episode.
Yeah, that's a nice rendition of that one. I like it. But that's really where we're at. Honestly, compared to the last several seasons, I was not as horrified by the opening episode of this season as I have been. It could be because my bar was set so freaking low that, you know, I was scraping the ground.
At least they acknowledge that it was weird that Denby was an agent.
Yeah, that's fair. Finally.
Went a long way for me. It's not like the bodyguard of a wanted criminal, number 1 in the list of the FBI most wanted, it's an FBI agent and nobody bats an eye. Yeah, well, that went a long way, but
you know, it's well, we'll see where it goes. Hopefully, I mean, the fact that we have, I think one of the things that has been so frustrating the last several seasons is there's just been no end in sight. And as much as I mentioned earlier, the quote from Dan Knopf about, you know, the who's going to notice the tiger, who cares where the tiger came from, that quote is one of the ones I keep going back to. And the other one is a Bokenkamp quote from early on, in which either NBC or Sony, he was pitching it to them. And he said, and here's the ending to my series. And they went, no, we don't want to know because we want it to stretch out as long as we have it on air.
And that's a problem.
It's an absolute problem. That's a whole podcast episode in and of itself on network television.
That's grit kill the baby because stories, and that's what
they have to have
anymore. Anything on TV. I'm watching cable, particularly if the series has ended, so I know.
I was gonna say when it's ended. So once Will Trent ends, I'll let you know how it goes. I will be your guinea pig. I will let you know.
Thank you.
It's nice. Because I don't learn my lessons. I see something shiny, I'm like, oh, I like it, and I follow. Oh. Anyway, but that's where we'll be for the next, several episodes going in. But welcome back to everybody that is still following us. We appreciate you. And honestly, you guys are why we're
A
here.
long years. It's been a
It
very
has, but the fans that are still listening to King Minds are the reason that Tessa and I are still here. So there have been plenty of times that I've wanted to leave, that she's wanted to leave. We've talked each other out of it because there are folks going, "Are you coming back next season?" And
Well, and it's a commitment to end something. If you don't have a respect of your word and your commitments, where are
yeah,
you?
exactly. And so we will be
And
back.
we'll try not to make it into a hate fest, too, because it gets boring.
Well, I mean, again, that's one of the good things about this being the final season. We have a light at the end of the tunnel. And so it makes it, there's some perspective added to this season, I think. And I think that's helpful.
We'll see you in the next episode.
We'll see you then. Feel free to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. And you can listen to us. We are on, oh God, it's been so long since I've done this. We are on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify. Until next time.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.